Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado on this 27th day of July, 2010. It's a special day for me, folks, because we'll be talking with someone who's worked on so many of my favorite movies with so many of my favorite stars. I'm very happy that veteran producer Joel Freeman has agreed to be our guest. He knows the movie business inside and out, backwards and forwards. His credits include being a former executive with Warner Brothers, Warner 7 Arts, and a producer at MGM. He's also served as an assistant editor, assistant director, production manager, and executive producer. Joel's impressive film successes include such classics as, and you're going to love this list, Shaft, Adam's Rib, Summer Stock, Love is First Bite, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, Camelot, and The Music Man, plus many others. And he's just formed a new company, which I hope he'll also tell us about during the show. Joel, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Well, we're just delighted to have you here. It's really an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. And of course, we're eager to ask you about your remarkable filmmaking career. But first, I want to bring on my cohorts, Nikki Starr and Misha Zubarev, to help with the show. First, Nikki. Nikki is multitasking today as our co-host and chat wrangler, besides being our producer extraordinaire. And Misha is our new co-producer. But Nikki, let's bring you on first. I think you're up for the challenge today. Am I right?
Always, and very happy to be here and excited to have Mr. Freeman on the line.
I am too, and I just want to ask you if everything is set up in the chat room and ready to go.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Great. We really appreciate the people who signed up to participate in the chat, and of course all our other listeners. And we also appreciate Mr. Misha Zubarev, who's a filmmaker himself, for joining Movie Addict Headquarters as a co-producer. Misha, thanks for helping us book Joel Freeman as our guest today.
Beja, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure, Joel, to have you with us today. And
thank you.
Really, truly, truly an honor, really.
It is a pleasure to have Joel, and it's wonderful, Misha, to have you back on the show. When you were here last, you talked about your short film, 18 and Out. Nikki, you remember that? And it was quite a thought-provoking experience, but today you have the honor of asking Joel the first question. So you have the floor now, Misha.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, Joel, I really wanted to ask you, what made you want to, you know, become a producer, and what was the process like, the decision-making process of becoming a producer, and what was the reasoning behind it, and what was really that key moment, the key point in your life when you said, I want to produce and make films?
Well, I think the true motivation was greed. No, I'm kidding.
An honest man.
No, actually, it became something that I wanted to do over the period of years that I did everything else, and realized that the really best job in the whole motion picture industry, as far as I'm concerned, was to produce movies.
Hmm.
And I came, you know, through the ranks, so to speak, from messenger on up. And eventually reached that point where I was given the opportunity. And absolutely love it.
Hmm.
Well, you've kept at it too, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you have, and I can't. I mean, the movies that you've been associated with, I just absolutely can't believe that I'm talking with you, Joel, because films like, Summer Stock, Adam's Rib, Shaft. In fact, I think you won a Directors Guild Award for Bad Day at Black Rock, another one of my favorites.
I was the assistant director on that picture. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a great
movie. And John
movie
Sturgis was the director.
Oh, well, that
fantastic film.
Absolutely. And also then you won from the NAACP Image Award as Producer of the Year for Shaft, another great movie. But among all these, I mean, there have to be over 100 that you've been associated with one way or another. Well, what are the films that were you most proud of and why?
That's a long question. No. needless to say, every picture that I ever worked on, I felt that I contributed and I was proud of what I had done or what I had contributed to it, whether it was as an assistant director or whatever. But yes, do I have some favorites that I'm really, really proud of? And I think Shaft, of course, is one of them.
Mm.
Love at First Bite was another one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. Right. It was just funny as hell.
It's the best vampire spoof ever made.
Thanks. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, I'm extremely proud of. Carson McCullough's novel. It goes on and on. Music Man, Camelot, Finian's Rainbow, and so on. I mean, I'm really proud of everything I was ever associated with. I got lucky.
Well, and the people in the films that you were associated with were lucky to have you. I am so glad that you mentioned a couple of musicals, because that is my favorite genre. And one of the films on your list just pops out at me because I'm sitting here in my so-called office looking up at this gigantic poster. It says Judy and Jean in Summer Stock.
I was the assistant director on that picture.
Oh, thank you for that film. And believe it or not, and Nikki knows this to be true, but the little logo for our show, Movie Attic Headquarters, has me sitting in a little director's chair, and the backdrop is Judy and Jean. You can see Gene Kelly leaping in the air and Judy Garland. You can see Judy and Gene in Summer Stock. So every Tuesday, people who listen to Movie Attic Headquarters, they get to see Summer Stock.
Well, Gene Kelly, among other things, became a good friend, and we played volleyball together and charades and you know what. He's a good guy. He was a really good guy.
And hardworking,
Judy,
I understand.
It was great. You know, Judy was fine.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
well,
you know, what a talent.
Mm-hmm. That was my question. What did you find most interesting about working with them in
the two of them together?
Most interesting, I think, just the fact that they were such talented people and how much I enjoyed doing my job, with them. What can I say beyond that? It turned out to be a very entertaining film, and I'm proud to have been associated with it.
It was just entertainment, sheer entertainment from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And that Judy Garland number, where the Get Happy number.
Yes.
That's one of her best numbers that she
yep.
ever did. And
yep.
that song, You Wonderful You, I'm glad I met you, You Wonderful You, that's one of my favorite songs. And we had the opportunity to meet the great Saul Chaplin at program, and he sent my husband and I an autographed song sheet. Of You Wonderful You.
Sal was a very good guy.
He wasn't. And he loved the musicals, and I have his book, The Golden Age of Hollywood Musicals, which I would recommend to anyone to read, because it's just full of wonderful anecdotes
there's no
about
question that MGM at that time, was the champ, as far as I'm concerned, doing musicals one after another.
Absolutely, they were. You could always tell when it was an MGM musical because it had the great color, and then of course the talented stars and that Arthur Freed company or group of people that worked with him.
And Joe Pasternak, right?
Yes,
they were
and
all
Joe
the producers Pasternak. Of those films. Yes.
Right, right. It was. That's one of the favorites that I have on your list. But there are so many other. I mean, the diversity.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
the films.
You know, what's interesting, too, the fact that there is such diversity, you learn about things you never expected to learn about in your lifetime, because each film, there was something else. You know, if it was Kind Lady, it was art. You know, did I ever know about a Cellini door knocker? No. But
no.
There it is. As a matter of fact, I have a duplicate of one made in plaster that they did at the studio hanging on my wall. But you know, I've said this so many times to people, with each film, I learned about something new. And it's just fascinating.
It was better than going to school.
Well,
it was school.
I don't know about
school.
That, but it was going to film school, actually.
It was going, it definitely.
Only
going
I was working all that time. That was, that was it. That was my schooling. Work, one picture after another with no time in between. I never took, there was a period of 8 years, I never took a day off.
Really?
Nope, never took a vacation.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes, we worked sometimes six days a week shooting. And, so you took Sunday, but you were so tired it didn't matter. But it was, it was so invigorating and so fascinating.
Well, I can imagine. I'm just so jealous that there you were with all those great stars and helping.
You'd be amazed if you saw the list of the actors and actresses that I worked with.
Well, I know that I would. Oh yes, yes, please do. And I may be stepping on Nikki's toes here because I know this was something that interested her. But he did mention actors and actresses. So Nikki, do you mind if I ask?
Go ahead.
Okay, which actors and actresses have impressed you the most, and why?
Oh, it's never. It's just
she always gets the best
list.
Questions. You see.
I know.
It's a never-ending list. It really is. You know, whether it was Barbara Stanwyck or, anybody of that ilk, Loretta Young, for example. Clark Gable, Robert Taylor. I mean, just people who were. Wonderful people and extremely talented and hardworking people, and a pleasure to work with.
Oh my gosh! And what about Spencer Tracy? I always wondered what he was like to work with.
The best. He was very professional, but he loved saying things the way he felt like saying them, not exactly the verbiage in the screenplay. And when a take was over. They'd say, well, he didn't say so-and-so, and he would chime in and say, excuse me, did you understand what I said? And he'd say, yes. I said, fine, let's go, next shot, you know. It was great.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you worked with him in Adam's Rib, so
and
that
Bad
means...
Bad Day at Black Rock.
And of course,
so
Bad
on.
Day at Black Rock. So that means that you saw the rapport with Adam's Rib between Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn,
oh,
right?
Of course. Yes.
Wow. I mean, what a team they were.
She
on
was a
screen.
Great. She was a great lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
and
I really don't have negative things to say about anybody that I work with.
Well, good, because we wouldn't want you to say that. It worked for me.
No, but I really didn't. It was just it was such a joy. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'd imagine the
people.
Feeling is mutual.
Pardon me?
I said I imagine the feeling is mutual.
Well, I'm sure. I hope so. Let me put it.
Well, Nikki, now go ahead. I think you have some other questions. I'm so sorry that I jumped the gun and
That's
went to
okay.
the actors, actresses.
No, no.
So I'm sorry, I apologize. So you have the floor now.
It's we already went through Gene Kelly and Summerstock, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, good. Just so you know, I'm not, like, you have movies from so long ago till current. One of my favorites is Shaft. I haven't seen every movie you've made. I'll make that on my bucket list. But the tremendous success of Shaft surprise you? Like, it was great. That movie was awesome.
Awesome is right.
Well, I guess it did in a way, because thinking about the first preview that we had out in California in Englewood, and when he went through that window, the din in that theater was unbelievable. People were screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around at my cohorts and said, I think we've got a money-making situation here. And it did prove such, too. You know, the picture was made for $1,240,000 in New York City at that time. And, it did an amazing amount of business. If we took Love at First Bite, which was made for $3,300,000, and Shaft made for $1,240,000, combined under $5 million, they did over $100 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah, just amazing. I mean, the opening of Shaft in the city of Chicago, for example, during the summer, the heat was unbelievable. People were in line around the block waiting to go in to see it at the Plitt Theater. It was tremendous. There's a wonderful story about the music.
Quincy Jones.
Isaac Hayes.
Oh, Isaac Hayes, okay.
Isaac Hayes. We recorded all the music for the film in one day. Whatever led up to that, I won't go into. But anyway, we did it in one day. It was incredible. And at the end of the day, I turned to Ike and I said, you know something? If there were lyrics to the opening theme of the picture, I have a feeling you would be eligible to be nominated for an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, he came in and got out of the limousine with an envelope in his hand, and written on the envelope, on the outside of the envelope, were the lyrics. Yes, he was nominated, and yes, he won the Academy Award.
That is a great story.
Isn't that a great story?
He took your... He
wonderful guy, by the way. He's a delightful fellow,
Well, it's a great bit of music.
I find it difficult not to tear up thinking about, the memorial for him, which I attended.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he's
yes.
A tremendous guy. So I just look up at the cover of the Shaft album. I'm sitting at my desk, and I look up on the wall, and there it is. Three of us standing outside of the recording stage, Gordon Parks, Isaac Hayes, and myself.
Oh, what a group.
Just tremendous. It was
that is so
very exciting.
Great. Very exciting. And what did you think about the Shaft remake? I mean, I know that... It couldn't touch, the original.
No, and it didn't, in my opinion.
No, and I'm not going to comment.
Okay, all right.
she can ask my opinion.
What?
I said she can ask mine, and I will answer as a true original Shaft fan. It did not stand up to what I saw originally.
No, it really didn't. It was a totally different approach.
Fan.
I mean, Shaft was John Shaft was a kind of good hero image, and
yes.
The new one, he was more, pardon my French, a son of a bitch, but,
It wasn't the same. Yeah.
It wasn't the same.
No. It was, I'll have to say, because I do like most movies, and I'm not against remakes, and I tried to put, just not think about the original when I was watching Samuel L. Jackson. And I did enjoy it, but I knew at the end, then when I started comparing, that there was no, there was no comparison.
No, it's different. It was the first black hero image
Yes.
And, you know, it had a foot in both troughs, so to speak. Everybody loved it.
It was great. I really was looking forward to the remake. Well, of course. And I was really looking forward to the remake because I love Shaft. And so I do have to say that, I mean, for me, it was just gave me hope. And I
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it started a new era, Shaft.
Yes. You know?
And I'm not talking blaxploitation because I hate the term.
Right.
I think that pertains to other films, not to Shaft.
Yes.
Shaft was truly the first black hero image, period.
I think you're right about that. And
and Gordon Parks, and I were in total, complete accord on that statement, by the way.
Yes, and I definitely can see why. Before moving on to more questions, I'm wondering, Nikki, are there any comments or responses from people in the chat that you'd like to share with Joel before we move on?
Just the consensus. It seems like out of all the movies, Shaft is really everyone's favorite.
That's nice.
I mean, that actually goes to prove really what a breakthrough film it was, so... That's
yes,
the consensus in the chat.
Well, we have perceptive chatters.
We really
there's no, there's no
well,
doubt about
I
that.
Well, I appreciate that. That's really nice.
In fact,
well, I'm just curious.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Richard. I was just curious. which combination of things, elements, do you think made Shaft so successful, both in the box office and amongst critics and?
Right.
Among things, one of which I mentioned, it was the first black hero image. That's fine. He was a very likable guy. You know, he wasn't a mean guy or anything like that. He was very likable, very personable. Sure, took a heavy position because that's who he was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, the atmosphere was real. The people, I think, were pretty real in that film.
Yes.
Richard did a bang-up job.
Richard Roundtree. Oh, wow,
yeah.
What a performance.
He did a hell of a good job. I'm glad that we chose him. We found him. He was doing a small company of Great White Hope in Philadelphia.
On the stage. Mm.
Yeah. And we brought him into New York and did a test, which I did with him, by the way, over my back.
You did?
Yeah. And it turned out well. It worked. It just worked. And, you know, dressed impeccably and created a wonderful visual image.
How much publicity and how much, you know, advertising went into the film before and during production, after? I'm just curious, I mean, did that play, that must have played a big, played a big role in...
advertising?
Yeah,
it did. I mean, you know, once that image was put out there, I mean, as I think I said before, you know, the lines around the theater in Chicago, for example, the Plitz Theater, were incredible. It really was.
I love hearing this because I was actually born in 1975. I don't think I saw it until I was around 13, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it didn't, so I didn't realize, like, to me, it didn't matter that he was black. It mattered that he was who he was. Do you know what I mean?
That's
and
why
so
I
had
said,
missed.
Right. That's
it's
why
just,
I said he had a foot in both troughs, black and
that,
white.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was a good question, Misha. I think that all the things that Joel's mentioned, I mean, sometimes everything just comes out right when you've got the right combination of people associated with the film, and Shaft is certainly an example of that. But my goodness, the genres, Joel, that you've been involved with, I've already told you that my favorite genre would be musicals, so I'm glad you've got like Camelot and Summer Stock and The Music Man on your list. But
by the way, apropos Music Man, was one superb actor and a great guy. Robert Preston.
Robert Preston.
Sensational.
That's one of the best physical performances on film.
He was tremendous.
Anyone who hasn't seen that version, they should definitely put it on their Netflix, because it's one of the best performances, I think,
in
a musical.
You know, I think it was on TV within the last couple or 3 weeks. I'm not sure.
Oh, I missed it.
Seems to me I saw something written about it.
They should show it a lot on TV, because it's just great.
Well,
it's
right. Well, Turner Classic Movie Channel shows a lot of these films. As a matter of fact, Shaft was on last night.
It was.
Or night.
Yes, it was.
Night or night before. Yeah.
Darn, I missed it. Well, I'm going to have to watch.
I did an interview for them for almost an hour for their archives.
Great.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
I think you should just buy Shaft's video. Just buy it.
Buy it. I'm going to buy Shaft. I'm definitely going to buy it so that I can watch it whenever I want to. Well, what other genres do you enjoy working in the most, Joel? Besides, theme?
It's a very difficult question, okay, because there are so many. And I have to say, I haven't found one that I dislike yet, except that if someone asks me to do one of these young Dracula things, I'm not so sure that I'd be interested.
You mean like Twilight?
We know what you mean.
Whatever, you know.
That's brilliant.
And I don't mean to put them down. You know, they have a great marketplace out there, but it's just not my taste, that's all. You know, but I suppose if someone offered me a bunch of money to produce one, I would do it. I don't know.
And it would be good. It would turn out. It would turn out great.
You know, my favorite genre, you know, it's so difficult to pick something out. You know, I love the idea of making family films, so to speak. Something that the entire family can go see and talk about over the dinner table.
Good for you.
I kind of lean toward that to a certain extent. Doesn't mean I won't make pictures with other themes, of course, but it's just one of my favorite themes.
Well, that certainly fits the Music Man, because everybody, I mean, all age groups, family, and you could talk over the dinner table about that.
Exactly. I think that's nice. You know, I'm... apropos of what I just said, it's not that I'm not in favor of making other kinds of films. It's just that that's a genre that I kind of feel good about.
Good, because I think we can use all of those types of films that we can get, because everything is getting so edgy and that's another question down the line here, but so I definitely like your answer to that, Joel. But Misha, I'm sure you have other questions for Joel. Am I right?
I totally do. I have so many questions. and so many more just kind of evolving through this interview. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, family films are just such a big part of, you know, the culture, and right now everything is so disintegrating from that. And it would just be fantastic, you know, to see more films which would unite, bring families together, and, you know, have, you know, just spend like regular, simple time.
Right.
You know.
And not, you know, they have to be commercial, of course, because you don't make a film to lose money. You want to make a film that will make money. But how nice it is to make it based on that genre.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what are the most important ways that films have changed for better and for worse since the time you became involved in filmmaking, Joel? You've been around for a long time. You've been through a lot of changes, I think, that you've seen in filmmaking. What's better and what's worse since you started?
Let's put it this way. Why do we have ratings? Right? Because things have changed.
Right.
Way back when I was, an assistant director, pictures, you know, you had certain things that you were not allowed to do in film.
Mm-hmm.
Today, no matter what, that's right.
Okay.
The Breen, so-called Breen office was, you know, had a list of things that you just couldn't do.
I remember
Whereas
those days.
Now, you know, it's almost wide open.
Yeah.
And that's why there are ratings, whether it's PG or whatever, you know. And I understand that. I mean, that's one difference. The other difference is the technology has gone way, way, way beyond where anyone had ever expected it to go.
For sure.
You know, think about it. Look at Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, amazing, amazing kind of thing. I grant you, it's extremely costly as far as filmmaking is concerned, but that's the gamble. I must say, they did a good thing.
Well,
you know,
certainly a film that people have enjoyed.
Well, CGI, you know, has come into play so pointedly. You know, computer-generated images, as opposed to what we had to work with before. You know, let's face it, I was back in the days when it was black and white. There was no color.
Yeah, and some people objected to Technicolor.
Well, eventually, eventually along came color, and along came this and that. But, you know, it's so far advanced now, as I said, what with CGI. I mean,
well,
there isn't anything you can't do.
Well, yeah, but do you think that, see, this is, I see as many movies as I can, and, of course, as a film critic, and I write my reviews each week. But the thing that's worrying me lately is that it looks so much like technology has taken over the films, and the story and the characters are taking a back seat, and that bothers me a lot. Now, is that something that bothers you? Is there any way we can get things, you know, kind of a compromise here where we can have good characters, good stories?
As long as they make money, there's no compromise.
No.
I mean, well, that's what it's about. You know, does it pull the audience into the theaters? And if
it does,
hallelujah. I mean, there it is.
Well, and there was a story behind Avatar.
Yes, I saw it first as Pocahontas, I think. Anyway. No, it was, yes, I'm not going to say anything bad about Avatar.
No.
Because
listen,
I couldn't see it in 3D, and I know it must have been just really, you know, fantastic in 3D.
Well,
but some of these 3D movies, I see them in 2D because my eyes don't adjust to 3D, and I don't feel bad about that because Johnny Depp says his eyes don't adjust to 3D either, so I'm in good company. But when I go to the 2D versions, it just looks like, all right, now I see that's a scene that was just made strictly for 3D, and then that takes me out of my, my enjoyment.
Yeah,
it takes me out of the movie, and then I can't immerse myself in it and enjoy it. But we still
there
have.
There will be more pictures like that made because the audiences enjoy going to see them. You know, my only feeling is, they're so costly.
Yes.
And, I'd hate to have one that fell on its back.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, with the kind of money it takes, you know, to make something like that.
They have to be pretty sure that it's going to make money before they
make
them.
Don't misunderstand, I'm not against it.
Uh-huh.
I would rather do the other kind of film, you know.
I see.
Action. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a matter of taste, that's all.
Yes, and you're not averse to using the technology.
Oh no! I mean, I've used CGI. I'm not adverse to it at all. There are certain things that are absolutely magnificent that you can do that we couldn't do before.
Right, and I'm not against that either. I just hope it doesn't just destroy the basics.
I don't think it will.
Okay, well,
so
good.
I think we're going to be making the other kind of films for a long time.
Good. Thank you.
Hopefully
I feel
they'll be both, though, but you do make us feel better.
Yes, he does make us feel better.
Make me feel better.
Yeah. Well, Misha, I know that that you have more questions, and we don't want to neglect you because you're the one that helped us obtain Joel. So go ahead.
Thank you. Well, it was a pleasure listening. I was just curious. I guess we touched already. If you just talk a little bit more, Joel, about the types of films we would be expecting to see with Freeman Jacobs' company. And you had already mentioned that family genres are most closest to you. But is there
anything? It's reality. Let's put it that way. It's truly reality. Well, as far as the company is concerned, it's difficult for me to talk too much about that because until the money's in the bank, we're not starting a project. And that should happen fairly quickly. And the first project will be called Barnaby.
Barnaby.
Yes,
Barnaby.
And that is a film that the family can go see and talk about over the dinner table.
Yay!
And it's very exciting. It's just a marvelous story, and I really shouldn't say more about it. I don't want to open a can.
Jinx it. We will be
but
just
so. I'm very excited about it. It is not an avatar or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about real people and real situations.
Can we maybe ask if it's based on a story or on an event?
It's based
or
on a screenplay that a writer named Mark Oman wrote, who happens to be a friend of mine, whom I respect a great deal. And it's something that will be shot here in California. And there we are. I really don't want to go into what
That's
the story
good.
Is about or anything like that, but it's going to be a very special film.
Well, we're going to send you extra special good vibes.
That'll be number one when the company is sitting in its proper place with the money in the bank and all that good stuff.
Right, and it's called the Freeman Jacobs Company, or
my partner is Steve Jacobs, who is a financial expert, and he's the one who is out there working on getting the funds together.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. And
after that one, yes, we have about seven other projects.
Excellent.
But first things first is my philosophy. Get that first one done, and the others will fall into place.
Right, after you get the first one in the can, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you have a movie called Punctured? I know on Internet Movie Database, I think there was a movie called Punctured listed.
That was a bit of a mistake on the part of the person that talked to me about it. For some reason, they thought that I would want to produce it. And they used my name a couple of times, but
I could understand why they'd want to do that. But you're heavily involved in the FJC project, and that's what we're going to root for to come to fruition. Great. I can't believe
that
our time is—it's just gone by so fast, and I always like to ask this question of every one of our guests. So you're not going to get off the hook on this, Joel.
What's that?
Which is, what's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
About me and my work? That takes a lot of ego. The answer.
We always get an answer.
We do.
I'm not too sure I want to do that.
Okay. Well, I know what
look, I can only say this, that I've been extremely fortunate to have had the opportunity to experience all the things that I've experienced over the years to become a producer. I'm very, very fortunate. I must thank the person who got me the job as a messenger at MGM, and that was my uncle, whose name was Dory Sherry.
Dory Sherry! Oh, my gosh. Do you know that my mother sent him a picture of me on a horse when they were looking for somebody to play in National Velvet?
Oh, my goodness. Hold on one
and
second,
who?
Please.
And he even answered her, I didn't get the role.
Hold on one second. Hold on. I'll go back.
Okay.
I'll come right back.
All right. Okay. Is he not the most gracious?
Oh, he is.
Gracious
just,
person.
He is just so great. While he's taking a little break there, he must get a lot of telephone calls about business.
I imagine.
Yeah. So I will mention, Misha, I want to thank you for helping us to get Joel.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So
my pleasure.
Oh, is he
so
back?
Much.
Yeah. But I wanted to thank you too,
Hi.
Misha, because you've also helped us with next week's show, which is entitled Mad Hot Ballroom Rewind. How do you like that title, Nikki?
I love
I'm
that
back.
Title.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
hello.
And he came
hello,
up with
I'm
that.
Back.
I just,
yeah.
Oh,
I just
hi,
wanted
Joel.
To let you know that you are, I didn't know what to expect. And you are so incredibly gracious, and I am very, very enamored and so happy that you're on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, you are all so nice, and I appreciate
and I feel,
you asking me.
We feel the same way about you, and it and I and I can tell how much you love the work that you're doing, and we
I do that.
Yeah, we want you to just continue doing it, and you've just been such a an awesome guest. And we wish you the best of luck with the FJ.
Thank you.
Yeah, with your new company. And we
thank
hope
you, as
when
they
you get
say, from your mouth to God's ears, right?
Yes, absolutely. So come back when you have Barnaby ready to talk about, and we'll just love having you on the
love
show
to do
again.
That. And
great.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much, Joel. Well, thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
It's been our great pleasure. So bye for now, Joel.
Bye bye.
What a terrific guy, Misha.
Oh, thank you, Misha. Misha, we're not
fantastic.
Worthy.
I'm just so excited about it and about next week because do you know that this next Saturday is National Dance Day? So so next Tuesday with Mad Hot Ballroom Rewind, with two of the filmmakers that were involved in making that movie, it will be really timely, and we can talk a little bit about what happened on National Dance Day. So I'm really looking forward to that. So this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support, as well as to Nikki Starr for everything she does to make Movie Attic Headquarters happen, and to Misha Zubarev for being our new co-producer. Special thanks to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in. I think there were some calls, but Joel had so much to say. I'm very sorry that we didn't get a chance to take them. And please don't forget to check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, since next Saturday is, oh, I have to look and see if this is on my switchboard before I announce this. No, I don't think it is. Yes, it is. Since next Saturday is National Dance Day, we're going to close the show with one of my favorite dancing songs. So get ready, folks. Here comes Footloose.
Hollywood.